Going to encourage you to take notes, write down all the Bible verses and the different quotes that you hear in the message today. I always encourage people not just to listen to the word, but take notes and research it, study it for yourself, because that way you can retain the information much better. And, you know, this week I watched the funeral online for Pastor John Lewis, who had mentored Carol and myself for a number of years, a great man of God. And at the funeral, his son got up and started his speech like this. He said, "This could be the best message you've ever heard in your entire life." So take some notes. And if you don't have a paper, write them on the neck of the person in front of you. That's how John Lewis would start every sermon. I love that. So I want to challenge you to do take notes. And praise God for John Lewis gone to glory to get his reward. Sure, he'll be having a great time with his new body in heaven. So today I'm bringing a message about community transmission, something we've heard a lot of in the media. This is exactly what the world needs right now, a community transmission of hope. Amen? God is raising up a generation of super spreaders of the good news. It's time to make the gospel go viral. We need contact tracing and discipleship of new believers. We need to be socially distant from the world's ways and be kingdom-minded. To be Holy Spirit-led should be the new normal. It's time for another wave of revival. We want to see this city transformed with the gospel. We want to flatten the curve of sin and see a move of God. We need to set up clusters at homeless shelters of God's word being studied. We have the only vaccine that will work against sin and death. And it's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So today's message was going to be called Share, Care, Beware. But as I was praying and preparing this morning, I felt the Lord tell me to put on prayer at the start. Because it's the most important thing, that we're a house of prayer. Amen? That we're in the secret place with the Father. So today it's called Prayer, Share, Care, Beware. See what I did there? I like to rhyme all the time, Cicely. Yes, thank you. Could be a poem, I don't know it yet. So, let's have a look at Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. And I just want to preface this to say I'm preaching to myself today. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, Pastor Matt, he's a prayer warrior. Oh, he's an evangelist. Oh, yeah, he's good at doing that. You know, I'm here to tell you, I believe I've only scratched the surface of what God's called me to do. I believe I've only just begun. I believe all the stuff I've done in my life ain't much compared to what God's plan is. And I believe we should all have that vision for our lives. Amen. God's got greater, you know that song, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. We are just at the beginning of what God's called us to do. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should and be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Friends, I'm here to tell you today the key to sharing our faith is prayer. If we are praying in the morning, seeking the Lord in the morning, in the Word of God in the morning, starting our day, filling ourselves up with God's Holy Spirit, starting our day in prayer, then when we share, we'll be clear in our message. We'll be wise in the way we act toward outsiders. We will make the most of every opportunity. Our conversation will always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, and we'll know how to answer everyone. I still remember the first time I led someone to Jesus. I was 15. I'd just come to Christ at a youth camp. I'd been raised as a Christian. I knew all about God, but didn't really know you could have a relationship with God. I was at this youth camp. I got full on for God, and I signed this paper saying I'd give my life to Christ, and then signed this other paper saying I'm signed up for full-time ministry. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew I had the call of God in my life. I go back to my school, Aurora High School in Coffs Harbour, and start going to youth group at the local youth group, you know, and then a couple of my mates noticed the change in me. And one of them was a footy player who was a young Aboriginal fella, tough guy in the school. And he said to me he had these demons every night that would visit him in his sleep and in his dreams. And he was terrified. He said, "What can I do?" I said, "Well, I can teach you how to pray and overcome those demons. But firstly, you've got to give your life to Jesus." And he goes, "Okay." And I was like, "Oh, what do I do now?" And I remembered the sinner's prayer that I prayed at the camp. And I remember seeing, you know, the TV preachers or the at Youth Alive. I remember seeing, I heard the sinner's prayer. And so I just had to make it up. So I said, "Okay, all right, pray this after me," you know. And I just, it was probably the worst sinner's prayer ever. It's probably theologically incorrect. It probably, you know, but how many of you know God hears our heart when we pray? And I just remember fumbling my way through this sinner's prayer and getting him to repeat it. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, thanks, mate," you know. And, you know, there was no dramatic, he didn't fall down, he didn't, you know, see an angel, just, you know. And anyway, comes back a few days and he goes, "Mate, this works." I said, "What?" He said, I had those demons come to me in the night. I said what you said, tell them to go in the name of Jesus, and they just left. This stuff works. And I said, "Awesome." So he then started leading his mates to the Lord in the footy team. And some of his relatives came to the Lord and they started coming to youth group and church. And, you know, and then we had these, you know, and I just remember I was making it up as I went along. I had no idea, honestly. But how many of you know God will give you the right words? God doesn't care about our ability. He cares about our availability. We've just got to say, "Here am I, send me." He'll fill our mouths with the right words. Social researcher Mark McCrindle surveyed 1,002 people in 2020 between July 24 and 28, found that more than a third, 35%, said they were praying more in 2020. 41% said they were thinking about God more. A quarter said they were reading the Bible more. Nearly a half, 47%, said they'd thought more about their mortality and the meaning of life. The research is showing that the COVID situation has rattled Australians and got them thinking about the big purpose of life. It's got people reprioritizing their life. And that's what we're finding out in the shelters, that's what we're finding in the workplaces, we're finding at the supermarkets, we're finding wherever we go, people are thinking, what is going on? Like, my heart breaks for Melbourne and Victoria, you know. They've had COVID and the shutdown there. This week they had, you know, a storm and three people died, I think, in the storm. And then their water got contaminated because of the flooding. It's like they've got another seven plagues to go and they'll be like Egypt, you know. But think about how much they've been rattled down there. And, you know, I praise God that Vision Radio is beaming all throughout Victoria right now. Whenever I get to open that microphone, I think about, you know, the other parts of Australia, but I think about how can I minister to those people in Victoria right now when I speak and when I open that microphone. I don't know, the other Christian radio stations down there and all the churches there, they can't. I mean, how blessed are we that we can meet right now? The churches there are just online, but they've seen this massive spike of people watching online. We've got massive, more people watching online than we've ever seen before as well. People are on there searching. They're looking. And we need to go and share the good news. We need to be bold. We need prayer and we need to share the good news. You know, when the Titanic hit the iceberg, there was an evangelist named John Harper who successfully led his daughter to a lifeboat. Being a widower, he may have been allowed to join her, but instead he forsook his own rescue, choosing to provide the masses with one more chance to know Christ. Harper ran person to person, passionately telling others about Christ. As the water began to submerge this unsinkable ship, Harper was heard shouting, "Women, children, and the unsaved to the lifeboats." Rebuffed by a certain man at the offer of salvation, Harper gave him a life vest and said, "You're going to need this more than I do." Up until the last moment of the ship before it plunged into the icy depths, Harper was pleading with people to give their life to Jesus. The ship disappeared deep beneath the frigid waters, leaving hundreds floundering in its wake with no realistic chance for a rescue. Harper struggled through hypothermia to swim to as many people he could in those icy waters, still sharing the gospel. Harper evidentially would lose his battle with hypothermia, but not before giving many people one last glorious witness. Friends, we never know when our time is up. 4 years after the tragedy at a Titanic survivors meeting in Canada, one survivor recounted his interaction with Harper in the middle of the icy waters of the Atlantic. He testified he was clinging to the ship's debris when Harper swam up to him twice, challenging him with a biblical invitation to believe in Jesus so that he could be saved. He rejected the offer once. Yet, given the second chance and with miles of water underneath his feet, the man gave his life to Christ. Then as Harper succumbed to his watery grave, this new believer was rescued by a returning lifeboat. As he concluded his remarks at the Canada meeting of survivors, he simply said, "I am the last convert of John Harper before he drowned." Harper's life was characterized by extraordinary prayer. He was, said a friend, a man who craved for souls. And for those souls, he would sometimes spend all night in prayer. His brother George wrote, "My beloved brother was a mighty man in prayer. He was a master of this holy art. I've been with him in prayer again and again when his whole frame shook like an aspen leaf. So earnest he was in his pleadings for God for a perishing world. Little wonder that hard hearts were broken and stubborn wills subdued under his ministry." A fellow evangelist, W.D. Dunn, said of him, "I can say that no pastor, nor teacher, nor evangelist ever moved my inner being more than the pleading and preaching of John Harper. He was always on fire for God and for souls. How often I heard him say, when lying on his face before God, covered with sweat, 'Oh God, give me souls, lest I die.'" Another friend witnessed he was strong in his love for the perishing. "Oh, how he burned and prayed and labored and wept for the conversion of sinners. And blessed be God, great numbers were led to the Savior through his consecrated efforts." Testimonies of Harper's prayer life could be multiplied. Friends spoke of him of a man who was in touch with God. And another said, "I was amazed at his boldness in asking God for great things." And yet another said, "When John Harper prayed, heaven and earth met." Friends, I want to challenge you. If we are going to be sharers of the gospel, we've got to be men and women of prayer. We've got to have that hunger and that fire in our belly for souls. Look at the forefathers in the Bible. Look at Jonah sent to Nineveh. Look at the woman of Samaria who told a whole village about Jesus, the demoniac who told his whole village about Jesus. All the disciples went out and obeyed the great commission. It's not the great suggestion, it's the great commission. I want to ask you today, where is your harvest field? Maybe it's as simple as inviting your neighbors over for a cuppa. You just got to start somewhere. Part of this book that Carol and I have been reading, The Grace Outpouring, it encourages you to have a 5-week prayer cycle where you pick 5 people and you pray for them every day. And we've been praying for 5 family members every single day for 5 weeks. And last week, Carol's mum and sister came over for a coffee and said, "Oh, we've been visiting such and such in the family. You wouldn't believe how much they've changed recently. You wouldn't believe how much their hearts have softened. They're open to the things of God. They're loving. They're talking about things. Something's happened." And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. That is the power of prayer. It's the power of blessing. I'm believing for their salvation. I'm not going to give up. I want to be like John Harper, who was craving souls in his prayers. You know, in 1993, 89% of Christians who had shared their faith agreed it is the responsibility of every Christian. In 2019, A recent survey said only 64% of Christians believe it's every Christian's responsibility to share their faith. I'm here to tell you, it should be 100% of us in this room by the end of this message, amen? It's not just my job, it's not just James's job, it's not just Oscar's job, it's not just Alejandro. Every one of us are called to go into the highways and the byways and compel people to come to Jesus. In our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, on social media. Make the most of every opportunity. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was going for a run. Yeah, I've been running. It's all Sean's fault. He's been challenging me to get it. You know, I've got this app and I try and beat my app every day. I'll try and run further, you know. So I went for a run early on a Saturday morning and it was a bit cloudy, a bit drizzling. I thought, I'll be right. I can handle this, you know. I'm running along near the soccer club at Mitchelton and it's just bucketing in rain. And I'm like in the Chariots of Fire. And then I thought, oh, I better find some shelter because it's getting pretty heavy, you know. I don't want to slip over, you know. Anyway, so I just stopped under the shelter there. There's a little cafe there at Mitchelton Soccer Club. And I was just reminded as I was there that one of our previous elders, Jenny Missenden, used to pray around that soccer club. And her sons were playing soccer there. And I remember her telling me that she would pray there for God to do something there. And she just said to me once, maybe you should offer to be a chaplain there one day. And this was like years and years ago, you know. But haven't you know, God knows the end from the beginning and there's no time in the kingdom, you know, God's eternal. Anyway, so I was just there and then saw some lady with a puppy dog, you know, this elderly lady with a puppy dog. And, you know, I said, oh, hey, what kind of dog? You know, oh, I've got a dog. And, you know, you do the dog conversation, you know. And then she starts chatting away and then she says, what do you do? And I said, oh, funny you should ask. I'm a pastor, and you know, and I work at a Christian radio station. You know. And she goes, oh, I used to go to church. I got sick of all the hypocrites. I got sick of all the pedophiles. I got sick of all, after that Royal Commission, oh, you know, so many Aussies are like that. They think we're all evil and, you know, and they've shunned us. You know. She goes, I still talk to God, but I just don't like church anymore. I said, oh, yeah. So we chatted for an hour. And I just happened to drop into the conversation after talking about the Lord and, you know, all this stuff, witnessing to and everything. I just said, hey, you know, this soccer club here, if you ever need a chaplain or anyone, I'm a pastor, I live just up the road, you know. She goes, you know, my brother is the president. And she goes, hey, Bill, come here. So she brought the president over, you know. Not that president, anyway, different man. Anyway. So I met the president of the soccer club, and she said, he should be our chaplain. He's a pastor. He works at a Christian radio station and lives up the road. He's got kids, you know. And he goes, great, give me your number. So I gave him my card. He took down my details, and I said, mate, I can do weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, you name it. I'm available, you know. And there's 1,100 members of that soccer club, and they meet there every week. They've got a cafe, you know. They have all sorts of functions there, And I said, mate, if you ever want me to come and pray a blessing, you know, if there's anybody here that's, you know, and he's like, you know what? I believe this is what we need. He said, through COVID, I've seen so many of these couples struggling, so many kids struggling. So he's, you know, because being the president, you'd have to deal with all the problems that happen, you know. He said, I need someone like you. I said, well, mate, I'm here. I just believe it was a God opportunity, you know. Nothing's happened. It was only a couple of weeks ago. I haven't got a call yet, but I jog past there regularly, you know, and pray over the place. You know, how many of you know God's called us to bring blessing wherever we go, to make the most of every opportunity? Watch this space. I'll let you know what happens when revival breaks out at the Mitchelton Soccer Club. I remember a number of years ago, Carol's dad was in hospital and was unwell, and we were always looking for an opportunity for him to come to Christ. And then one day when Carol's stepmom wasn't there. Carol and I just said to him, Graham, every week I give people an opportunity to come to Christ at my church and at my soup kitchen. And I would be a bad son-in-law if I didn't give you that opportunity because I don't know how long you're going to be on this earth for. I said, Graham, do you want to give your life to Jesus? And he said, yep. His eyes filled with tears. And I just knew it was that moment. I had to make the most of that opportunity, you know. And we held hands at that Caboolture Hospital and prayed the sinner's prayer together. And he wept and sobbed. And he said, I don't know if I can be forgiven of all that I've done. And I said, I'm here to tell you, you are forgiven. Because people get the devil saying, oh, you're not good enough. You've messed up too much. I said, that is a lie. Your sins are forgiven today. But you've confessed your sins. And 6 months away, he went on to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege of sharing at his funeral with hundreds of firefighters that he'd worked with over years who all respected him as a great firefighter. And I was able to share that story about how he humbled himself and came to Christ before he passed on to the next world. And I just believe God positioned me to minister him in that moment. Friends, take that opportunity. Pray and then share. Never miss that opportunity to share. Romans 10 verse 8 to 17 says this, for salvation comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preach, is already within easy reach for each of us. In fact, it is as near as our own hearts and mouths. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in his heart that a man comes right with God. And with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. For the scriptures tell us that no one believes in Christ will ever be disappointed. Remember hearing a quote from Billy Graham once. He said, I've never seen a man who's come to Christ who's regretted that decision. So good. Verse 12 says, Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who generously gives his riches to all those who ask him for them. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a verse I regularly use whenever I do an altar call, whenever I ask people to come to Christ. I want to challenge you to memorize this verse. If anyone confesses with their mouth and believes in the heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then they will be saved. That's why we ask them to pray that sinner's prayer, confess it with their mouth, believe in their heart. Verse 14, how shall we know? Sorry, but how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them unless someone sends them? I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to send you today. I'm here to commission you today to go. The same way Jesus sent out his disciples, my heart for this message today is to tell you to go and share the good news. That's what the scriptures are talking about when they say how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace with God and bring glad tidings of good things. In other words, how welcome are those who come preaching God's good news. But everyone who hears the good news has welcomed it. But not everyone who hears the good news has welcomed it. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed me when I told them? Yet faith comes from listening to this good news and the good news about Christ. Another version says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That bit at the end there, the word of Christ, means the rhema, the revelation of God's word. I want to challenge you, when you share God's word, don't just follow some formula. Let the Holy Spirit give you the words, amen? Get a revelation. God will give you scriptures. You don't have to say, the Bible says such and such. You can just quote the word of God. Because the word of God will not return void, but will accomplish that which it's sent for, amen? Make sure you're always word-based when you're sharing the word, but make sure you're anointed by the Holy Spirit. Because it's only if the Lord builds the house that we can see people saved. Otherwise, we labor in vain, amen? Let the Lord speak to you and through you. So every one of you, I'm commissioning you today to share the good news with your family, with your friends. People are searching. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray to the owner of the harvest to send out workers in the harvest field. That's been one of my biggest prayers in 15 years as a pastor here. Lord, send out workers. We don't want to gauge the success in our church on how many come in. We want to gauge the success on how many we send out to share the good news. We're all called to be workers in the harvest field. Come on, you can clap that. That is exciting. Amen. I heard of a man named Charles Pierce. who was living in England and was a criminal and a thief and was sentenced to death for murder, and he was sentenced to be hanged. And as he was being prepared to be hanged one day, the priest was giving him his last rites and saying a blessing over him. And he said to that priest, "If what you're saying is true, that I can be saved through the blood of Jesus, I've never heard that in my entire life. If what you are saying is true, I would crawl on broken glass the length and breadth of England to tell people this good news." And that priest was convicted that day that he only shared the good news in his little comfortable church, but never went out into the highways and the byways. What a true reminder for us in the church. He would be prepared to go out crawling on broken glass to share that good news if it was true. I believe we need to be so bold that no matter what obstacle is in our way, we've got to go. We're all called to be workers in the harvest field. So prayer is my first point. Share is my second point. Third point today is care. 1 John 3:16 says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions..." Let me just pause there. Anybody here got material possessions? That's the biggest altar call I've ever done. Look at that. Everyone. If any... You know what? We are in the... If you own a car and a computer, you're in the top 5% of the richest people in the world. We are blessed here in Australia. We are prospering. It's actually the curse of prosperity in our nation. We are so blessed, we become lazy and apathetic, and we don't actually go and care for people. We're greedy. We're idolatrous. We're coveting things all the time. It's all about the latest gadget and the latest this and the latest clothes and the latest fashion. We are so rich. We are so blessed in this nation. And here's what the Word of God tells us. If anybody has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Let's not be known for just talking the talk. Let's walk the walk. Sometimes we need reminders that life isn't all about me. We listen to that radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? Seriously, that WII, what's in it? We are so self-focused in this day and age. Everyone's got an iPhone, an iPad, an iWatch, and it's all about I. It's all about me. But when we come to Christ, we die to ourselves. We take up the cross and we follow Jesus into the homes of the broken, into the streets, into the highways and the byways. We share and we care. If we don't reach out to the lost, the needy and the desperate, our words are nothing but a noisy racket in their ears. 1 Corinthians 13, such an important passage. Love is patient, love is kind, it isn't rude, it isn't proud, it doesn't boast. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, if I prophesy, what good is it if I don't show love? We've got to care practically for those in need. I remember reading a poem, the author is unknown, and it says this: "I was hungry, and you formed a humanities group to discuss my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your church and prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me about the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still hungry and lonely and cold Friends, in this year, there are people all over this nation with an increased level of anxiety, an increased level of depression, marriage breakups, alcoholism, drug addiction. You know, I praise God for Job Seeker, that people are getting blessed with extra finances right now, but I'm hearing more and more that they're all just being, it's all being blown on drugs. There's been such an increase in drug addiction because they've got this extra cash. I'm hearing from employers that they're having trouble employing people because why would you go and get a job when you've got Job Seeker? You can sit at home and you do nothing all day. There are so many people that are broken and lost and desperate right now. And we've got to go and care for their physical needs, love them. Like that word that the Lord gave me earlier during worship, they're in the ashes, but God wants to bring beauty out of the ashes. He wants to raise them up. That's what we do as believers. We take people under our wing and we help them up. And there's a warning that says when you help people up, be careful that you don't stumble yourself. You've got to be very careful of that. That's in the Word of God. So we've got to be people of prayer. We've got to share, but we've got to also care. And I believe for us as Christians, we need to model this to those around us. Joshie and I were getting some fish and chips recently, and there was a homeless guy outside the fish and chip shop. And I was a little bit unsure whether to stop or not, you know. I didn't want to be too late for Carol or get in trouble if I'm late with the dinner, you know. But, you know, you get that stirring in your heart to stop, you know. I always think of that verse, to leave the 99 and stop for the one that Jesus told us. And I remember stopping and chatting to this bloke, and he just started pouring out his heart story, his life story from his heart, sharing how broken he was. And Joshie was there watching me. And then Joshie started talking to him and speaking into his life as well. And then we offered to pray for him. He goes, oh, yes, please, pray for me. And so Joshie and I lay hands on him in the middle of the street in front of the fish and chip shop and just prayed for God's blessing, prayed for healing, prayed for a breakthrough in his life. And I thought, this is the most important thing as a father to show a son, that we stop for the one. You see, people are watching what we do. People notice when we just walk past and leave them there. What's more important? I'd much rather get in trouble off Carol and have cold fish and chips than, because I want to please my Father in heaven first. And he wants us to stop for the one. I've shared this recently, but I just feel to share it again because it keeps convicting me. The book, The Final Quest from Rick Joyner, there's a story where the Lord gives Rick Joyner a vision of heaven, and he sees a guy there, and he says to the Lord, he said, who is that guy? I recognize him. And the Lord says, that was the street preacher at your train station. He was homeless, and he was a street preacher. And you walked past him a number of times, and the Lord said, I told you to mentor him and take him under your wing. But you just brushed him aside as a crazy street preacher. And he said to the Lord, why has he got such a great reward in heaven? And he said, because he died a martyr's death. He was homeless. He was freezing one night. And he was sleeping next to another man who was freezing. And he took off his coat and he gave it to this other man. That man survived and he froze to death that night. And he was only given a few portions of love, but he used all of his portions. And the Lord said to him, if you had taken him under your wing and trained him up and mentored him, he could have been the next Billy Graham in America. But you shunned him and walked past him and didn't stop for him. And the Lord also showed Rick Joyner that there was another man in heaven that got an okay reward, but nowhere near as good a reward as this homeless man who died the martyr's death. And this man had been given 100 portions of God's love. He was a healing evangelist, and he would travel and preach and do all sorts of ministry. but he only used 75 portions out of the 100 that had been given to him. And he still got an okay reward, but nowhere near as good a reward as the man that had 3 portions and used all of them. When I hear that, I think, what am I doing? Sure, it's great we're doing this and that, but we're just scratching the surface with what God has called us to do. We must stop for the one. We must obey the voice of the Lord when he speaks to us. God has so much more in store for us if only we'd be willing to stop and be led by the Spirit. And some of you, I hope, are getting really convicted right now. My role as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. If you're only using 75 out of your 100 portions, you're not doing your job. Take it from Norm. It's a bit nasty, Norm. I'm trying to be nice here today. No? Friends, let's step up. We don't know when the Titanic's going down. We don't know when the end is going to come. We don't know how long we've got left. Make every day count. Use up all of your portions of love, all of your talents, all of your gifts. So pray and say prayer. Share. And care. And the last one, beware. I've wrestled with sharing this over the last few weeks, but I just feel as the shepherd, it's important to bring a warning today. In Proverbs 27:23, it says, "Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds." My warning is that the devil is trying to distract us from sharing and caring and praying. Remember seeing a bumper sticker once that said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing." Amen? Jesus is the main thing. Remember at Bible college, they taught us to major on the major things and minor on the minor things. I'm noticing in 2020, there's an abundance of discussion about end times, about conspiracy theories, about the government this and the BLM that and the this that and the this that and the this, you know, and I could rattle off 100 different things that I'm hearing, you know. And I reckon there's a massive distraction that is tying up Christians' time and focus instead of getting on with the job of prayer, sharing and caring. The Word of God says this in Romans 16:17. "And now there is one more thing to say before I end this letter. Stay away from those who cause divisions and are upsetting people's faith, teaching things about Christ that are contrary to what you've been taught. Such teachers are not working for our Lord Jesus, but only want to gain for themselves. They are good speakers and simple-minded people are often fooled by them. But everyone knows that you stand loyal and true. This makes me very happy. I want you always to remain very clear about doing what is right and to stay innocent of any wrong." So here's my instructions to us in this flock, you know. As the shepherd, it's my responsibility to oversee the flock, and I will be judged for how I lead you as a pastor. And if I did not warn you and say beware today, I believe I would be, I would be practicing spiritual malpractice not to warn you. But I'm hearing things, I'm seeing things on Facebook, sometimes I'm getting involved in discussions with people, and I just see people just wasting their time talking about rubbish. Now, it's okay to talk a bit about what's happening on the news or a little bit about, you know, some end times theology or a bit about, you know, and it's okay to agree to disagree. Cecily and I sat down a couple of years ago when I was preaching through Revelation and Daniel, you know, we sat down, we went through the Bible for an hour together. She had this idea, I had that idea, and we just agreed to disagree. I'm right and she's wrong, but she, that's okay. No. Who knows? Maybe she's right and I'm wrong. But we agreed that we'd love each other. And I wouldn't have a go at her and say, "Look, sorry, get out of here, heretic," you know. We love each other. And we just agree to disagree on that topic, you know. It's okay to disagree. Because if you research it, there's like several views on the end times that you could pick and choose different bits. And I know people that are just sold out that this is the only way it could be. Oh, no, it could only be this way. Oh, it could only be this way. People are so, and they've got all the scriptures and they've got all the books and they've got, you know. And, hey, we'll only know when we get to heaven one day, amen? No one's got it right except for me, I believe. But the truth is, we will disagree on things, not just end times theology, on the conspiracies that are getting around, on the, you know, and let me say with conspiracies, they can't all be right, by the way. Some of them may be true, they may be so true. But what good's it going to do to know which conspiracy is right? What are you going to do to change the world when you work out which one's right? Don't waste, what I'm saying is, don't focus on it. It's okay to have a chat and it's okay to, you know, discuss it if you like, but people go down these rabbit trails and there goes an hour of your life when you should have been out winning souls. You should have been out caring for people. You should have been out doing, fulfilling your call and your mission. You're not going to get to heaven one day and say, well done, you worked out that conspiracy, good job. No, it's going to be well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I called you to do. Let's be careful not to be distracted. If we do have a discussion, have it in love and be healthy and agree to disagree if you have to. I'm happy to sit down and talk through these things with people, the elders and leaders in our church. We love, you know, I love a good discussion about all that stuff. But let's not focus on it and waste time on it. Amen? Someone could be, you know, pro-mask or anti-mask. Some people could be pro-Trump or anti-Trump. Some people could be pro-Broncos and pro-the Bulldogs, you know. Some people could be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you know. Some people could be vaccine, anti-vaccine, you know. Should we have a vote? No, I'm not going to. No, no. I'm just very aware, and I believe it's in all over the world right now, there's an increase in discussions about this stuff. And I just believe the devil is trying to deceive us to go down rabbit trails and fight amongst each other. Let's not be divisive. Part of my job as the pastor is to redirect the traffic. So don't binge watch the news too much. Don't watch too many of those videos and blogs. And, you know, for Vision Radio, you know, I'm employed by them to help run some of their social media and be one of their announcers. And I have learnt the hard way a number of times where I've found this great video or this great clip and I'll put it on the Vision Facebook page. And all of a sudden, one of my bosses will say, Matt, you know that's fake news. I'm like, no, that's the best conspiracy video I've ever seen. No, it's fake news. And we've got a news team there. And you've got to check your sources. You can't just listen to any old thing that's been posted and sent to you, you know. You've got to check your sources. You've got to make sure it's from a credible source, you know. So, you know, of course, there's things like Snopes.com and, there's other things you can look up. Be careful before you share stuff on social media. Be careful before you start conversations about things. Major on the major things, minor on the minor things. Major on Jesus and the gospel. And if you want to hear what I believe about it all, I preached a series on Revelation, went through it verse by verse, word by word. It's all on the podcast. I preached on the book of Daniel. You can hear some of our things we shared during that series. And I want to challenge you to not neglect the word. Hebrews 13:16 says this. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And it says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So go easy on us leaders, if you could. You know, sometimes we get, you know, sometimes we get overloaded with all these different things that people are coming to us with. Let's make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. Prayer, sharing, and caring the good news. And bewaring. Might just invite someone to come on the keyboards as we close in just a moment. So, friends, I just wanted to just highlight a few of those things today. Because I believe our church is in the most exciting time I've ever seen. I've never seen so many people come to Christ. I've never seen so many new people watching online and connecting with us. Next week, I'm going to be preaching up at Mount Tambourine, a sister church of ours, and God's opening doors and opportunities for us more in there and in other churches around as well. I believe part of our vision and mission of a church is to plant 3 churches in the next 10 years. I believe God is raising up people. And, you know, the word the Lord gave us was that we're meant to enlarge our territory, stretch out our tent peg. And God is going to send us out more and more. Because our vision is to see this city transformed. Our vision is to see the north, the south, the east, and the west. We want to see an impact all across this city. And my heart behind giving this to you today is to equip you and make you ready. Be men and women of prayer. Share the good news with every opportunity you have. Care for those that are broken and lost and needy around you. And beware of the enemy's plan to divide and conquer. Because God is coming back for a pure bride. And he's cleaning up the house of God right now. You know, Andrew Cook, who runs our New Hope Care ministry, shared a story recently that he was in Cambodia a number of years ago, preaching the gospel, caring for the poor, doing what he does, a great man of God. And he was in the slums and sharing with a bunch of young boys about the Lord. And one boy pulls out a gun and points it at him. And he thought, okay, this is how it ends. In the slums of Cambodia, on a mission trip, this is it. He started praying under his breath. And he just did this. Smart thing to do when someone points a gun at you. And the kid goes, and there was no bullets in the gun. It was just a toy gun. But in that moment, he said his life flashed before his eyes. And he just surrendered because he didn't know what to do. And he said that posture of surrender, that's what it means when we come to Christ. Would you say, God, I surrender. I give it all to you. And in that moment, nothing else matters, does it? How much money you have, how big a house you have, how many cars you have, your clothes, your material possessions, what kind of job you have, none of it matters because you're a breath away from eternity. And he just surrendered in that moment. Thankfully, he didn't die that day and he was able to lead those guys to the Lord. But I want to challenge you today. Have you surrendered? Have you given everything to God today? Are you willing to lay everything down? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, I just pray that as a church, we can surrender to you today. We can die to ourselves and be willing to lay down everything for you. God, forgive us for being greedy, for being coveting, Lord. Forgive us for being prideful. Forgive us, Lord, for following our own agenda. God, we want to surrender everything to you today. We want to be men and women of prayer who crave for souls. We want to be men and women who share the gospel with every opportunity. We want to be known as a people who are caring and share your love wherever we go. And Lord, we want to make sure that we are aware of the plots of the enemy against us, that we won't be distracted, but we will fulfill the call you placed on our lives, Lord. God, we surrender to you today. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, maybe today you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe today you need to surrender to him. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then we will be saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to ask Him to forgive you of your sins today. You want to be saved today. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment where you can get your heart right with God. If today is your day to get your heart right with Jesus and you want to pray that prayer, just slip your hand up real high so I can see it today. Get on your brother. Get on your sister. Get on your brother. Brother, I see that up there. That's four people. Is there anybody else? Five over there today. That's great. Is there anybody else that wants to give their heart to Jesus today? Anybody else that says, yes, today's the day for me. I'm giving up on my own way. I want to surrender to Jesus. Is that you? Just slip your hand up real high. Anybody up the back there? On the sides? Awesome, awesome. I see those. That's awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Well, God bless you. If you